Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Friday Filibuster. I'm Dave Johnson, joined by Eric Astroslager.
Hello.
Daryl Loomis.
Hi.
And Blast from the Past, a voice we haven't heard from in a while. Not really a blast from the past, because he is one of us, but it is, of course, Mac McIntyre.
How can do.
And we're here for a spine-tingling Halloween Friday Filibuster. So your spine will tingle. I guarantee that. So but before we get into our Halloween-themed mayhem, let's just kick it off like we usually do. Just updates in the world of entertainment. Eric, anything to report?
I think this is Halloween-y, I guess. I wanted to see The Exorcist on the big screen. I think I teased that.
Oh, that's right.
And
I'm here to report that it was the extended version.
Okay. How do you feel about that?
I think it's fine. I mean, I've seen the extended version more times than I've seen the theatrical version at this point. So
did you find the Saruman stuff jarring?
A little bit.
Yeah,
I forgot that was in there.
That's right.
Also some of the CGI like creatures outside the Mos Eisley Cantina.
That was pretty good.
A little weird. But still one of the scarier horror movies. So it's a great movie, and it's amazing how long it takes before anything actually scary happens. And in a sense the all the stuff that they do in the hospital, all the tests they run on this poor girl, are scarier almost than the actual possession stuff at the end.
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. And I as far as the extended version, I was really happy that they were able to add back in the crab walk scene. Some of the other stuff I don't care about, but the crab walk scene is scary as hell.
Yeah. I think there's a little bit more character stuff. I know there's an added scene between Karis and and the exorcist, whose name I'm blanking out at the moment, when they're taking kind of a break from the whole thing. It's kind of amazing. I realized this time that, when it comes to the very end, I guess if you haven't seen The Exorcist, sort of spoilers, but it's amazing that, but when it comes down to it, Karis, who's struggling with faith for all this time, in the end, he basically beats up the demon. And that's kind of how he kind of goes back to his boxer roots. He's almost like beating up the girl at the end, and he's challenging the demon and stuff. It's kind of it's such a brutal sort of way for him to end it. It's a really very effective movie. If you haven't seen it, I guess you have a few hours left this month at this point to see it. So,
well, at your theater near you?
No, I mean literally when if people hear this on Friday on Halloween.
Good point. That's right.
Pretty much the same as the other one. There was like eight of us there or something. It's disappointing, but at the same time, I'm glad I got to go.
Yeah. So did you like form like some kind of group? Like, do you refer to yourself as like a Breakfast Club or a Monster Squad?
Exorcist Buddies.
That's good. Well, no, we didn't this time. I guess there's three more movies for us to come up with a name. Although, I don't know, at this point we're moving on to Casablanca, Wizard of Oz, and Vertigo. So,
Munchkins,
I guess, maybe? I don't know. here's munching at you, kid. I don't know.
That'd be great. I really hope one of those. All right.
That's battle.
All right, Daryl.
Not much big. I did watch the series premiere on Cartoon Network of the Mike Tyson Mysteries.
Oh.
which was suitably bizarre. It's from the guy that made Robot Chicken. And it's pretty much a straight-up Scooby-Doo parody with Mike Tyson, voiced by Mike Tyson, and Norm MacDonald voicing an alcoholic pigeon, and Jim Rash playing an ambiguously gay ghost. And then Tyson has a foster daughter who he's trying to help get into college. So in the premiere episode, they go out to Texas to – they get a note from Cormac McCarthy that he needs help with the ending of his novel. And so they go out to Cormac McCarthy's place to help him with the ending of his novel when a chupacabra shows up and they have to take care of that problem. Spoiler alert, turns out Cormac McCarthy's a centaur. So the show...
People didn't know that already?
Right. But he's reclusive and for reasons. I mean, it's hard to find pants for a horse. But suitably bizarre. I'll watch it again. I didn't know what to expect, but it was pretty funny.
All right. Mac, it's been a while.
It has. Well, I know you guys talked about The Flash on your last show.
That's right. We've been wondering where you land on that.
Yeah, I'll just chime in to say I've really been enjoying it. You know, after struggling with watching Gotham and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it's nice to see a superhero show that actually embraces the superhero genre instead of just kind of hiding behind it, you know? Because going in, I was worried it was going to be like young Barry Allen in science class, and at the end of the first episode, he was going to see a lightning bolt and say, like, oh, someday that'll be me. But
Well, we did know that he got, like, Arrow gave us a tip last season.
That's right.
They did the backdoor pilot. So at least we had a sense that they weren't going to torture us small.
So were the previously on Flash scenes before last night's episode from last season's Arrow?
Oh, must have been. Yeah.
Okay.
Felicity. It was a big cameo. Yeah.
That was the first time I've experienced in a TV show what I used to experience when I'd read comic books. And it referenced something and said, see issue number 43.
Right.
I don't have issue number 43.
Right.
I guess I have to go track that down. So
exactly.
Yes, good point. Yes.
But yeah, it's great. It's like getting a big, you know, blockbuster superhero movie on TV every week. And I like that the show's funny. It has a sense of humor, that it's not just all dark all the time.
I have to say that, man, I don't know if it's me, but anyone else find the visual effects to be fairly impressive in this show?
Yeah, so far.
I mean, we're not talking ILM or anything, but like I thought the Flash effects in general have been like, they remind me of a lot of like Spider-Man type of effects, right? You know, like kind of the slow, and he's just enjoying being the Flash. That's kind of what comes across.
There's very little on the show I would describe as cheesy.
Yeah, which is
pretty good for a TV show. I have to say,
a TV show about the fastest man alive with lightning bolts on his ears. You know.
Yeah.
Although, like, Iris and her boyfriend continue to be the anchor for me. So I mean, I just
sure.
That's like the only. I read some reviewer described it like she's the most CW type of character, and that's a pretty apt.
That's true. Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
If you know the comics, you kind of know what the plot twist is there. And
really?
So there's going to be big things going on there with her and the boyfriend.
I don't know any of these things. It's pretty great. Yeah.
Oh, no. Okay.
I want to about the boyfriend, but is Iris an actual character in the comics?
Oh, yeah. Iris West. Yeah.
Oh, geez. All right. Okay, good. Good to know, Mac. Good to know. And how about our prison break boy, Wentworth Miller, showing up?
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah. Captain Cold even had the parka in one scene.
That's right.
Yes. Sorry, go ahead. I'm sorry, man.
Oh, yeah, I just never thought they'd bust out the parka, but they did. But no, he was good.
Yeah,
there was definitely setting him up for future episodes, which is fun.
Yeah, it seems like it was kind of a different episode this week in that it was the first time that he wasn't I forget what they call him, metahuman or whatever they call it. Like he didn't get any powers in the big lightning strike. He just happens to be a very good, you know, thief, and then he gets this, you know, thing. But this is the first time that we've seen someone who's not a metahuman and who basically makes it through the episode.
Right. That's right.
It's kind of interesting up till now to see the sort of villain of the week. It's kind of reminded me a little bit of X-Files. I know that spawned all kinds of other shows that are very similar. But I get kind of a little bit of that vibe where you have like this, you know, small team, and then there's this guy who can rob this bank or kill these people. We don't know what he's all about, so we have to figure out what his power is and that kind of thing, which I like.
Right. Yeah.
And then the little stingers at the end have been pretty eventful. I believe I've just been hearing teases that Dominic Purcell is going to be joining kind of the Rogues, right, Mac?
Oh.
That's what they're called, Flash's group of...
Yeah, well, I mean, every hero has his own group of Rogues Gallery, and for some reason the Flash, his Rogues Gallery, the fans call them the Rogues.
The actual Rogues, okay.
And then the writers picked up on that and made them a team and stuff. Oh, it's a whole thing.
That's interesting because his last episode was called Going Rogue.
There you go.
Oh.
There you go. I mean, Gotham aside, which we kind of knew what we're getting going in, but like between this and Arrow, I've always thought was very generous with its comic book properties, and Flash seems to be upping that, right? I mean, there's Easter eggs all over the place, and I guess I heard a confirmation that we are going to get some Gorilla Grodd action, which blows my mind.
I wonder how they're going to pull that off.
I mean, he is the Flash's arch enemy, yes?
Well, he's one of them.
Okay. Yeah.
We just had Captain Cold, and we had the Weather Wizard, and there's a whole bunch of others. He's got the craziest, wackiest villains.
And I have to say, this may just be because I know relatively little about the Flash, but it feels like he's at the certain level of comic book character where he's well known enough that he could get his own show, but all like the surrounding villains and characters are kind of just obscure enough to like mainstream audiences that they can kind of just introduce them as brand new characters.
Like discovered them, right? Yeah.
Yeah, like
Guardians of the Galaxy did.
Yeah, basically. I remember some stuff. I assume at some point we'll get that Boomerang guy.
Oh, yes.
And Reverse Flash, right? Reverse Flash.
Which is someone I assume I know what he's about because I always assume that he's just like the bad Flash. Like the yellow, he's the Yellow Lantern.
Yes, that's right.
You know, he's the evil robot at the end of Iron Man, or he's Abomination, or he's any number of... But maybe he's not. I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah. So, and Mac, you got to give it up for John Wesley Shipp, right?
Yeah, the Flash from the 90s is back as the dad. He's been pretty good on the show, too.
Good. And so it's not just kind of like cheap fan service, you know. I think it was a great shout-out, and he's been, you know, I thought he's been decent, too. So.
Yeah, they gave him a real character to play. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's like, honestly, this is one of the few shows that because my wife really likes it a lot, so that's one of the few shows we'll watch kind of live and not, you know, DVR or something. So it's kind of like, I guess, appointment viewing, so to speak. But even like these, yeah, I think it's been just a ton of fun, and they've nailed that tone pretty well. And do you have any theories on who Harrison Wells or whatever his name is? Like, I've heard all kinds of stuff. Like, he might be the future Flash, you know, Barry Allen grown up. He might be this. So,
I mean, with the Flash, time travel is a big part of it. And once they get really going with the time travel, it's going to just explode. So there's lots of history there.
Yeah. All right.
I'm glad that this last episode, the stinger at the end, without saying what other stingers have been, I'm glad this is the first one where he didn't do the thing he does in every single stinger so far. Like, it's a big reveal after the first one.
That's right. Yeah, I hope they keep mixing it up for sure going forward. So, and I will say that I think I mentioned that we've got the DC Comics deck building game, which is a lot of fun. You know, just a game, just a kind of a card game that we've liked. But there's tons of these obscure villains. So I actually knew who Captain Cold was going into this. I felt pretty proud of myself. I was like, and nice. The goggles and the parka. Yes. I will say I felt into it. All right. So for me, I was talking from The Flash to John Wick. I caught Keanu Reeves' new action movie last week. And I read somewhere that prior, like, it's been like 4 or 5 years since Keanu Reeves has been in a movie. Like, the last one was the Ronin movie, right?
That was just last year, wasn't it?
Right, but before that, it had been like a huge gulf of non-Keanu Reeves time. I was like, wow, really? Interesting.
So sad.
Sad for everybody. since I just rewatched last night, I watched Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey, which I really like a lot. Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey is excellent. But anyway, John Wick, good. Good action, kind of a hard R action movie. Doesn't really break the mold on anything, but it's violent and cool and interesting and slick, and I mean, it doesn't quite stick with me, unlike The Raid 2, which, Daryl, do you have any?
Oh, I do have insight into Raid 2 now.
All right, now, good.
I don't know why I mentioned Mike Tyson's Mystery, as since I watched it specifically for this podcast and for my own pleasure, but, you know, to not have any more excuses. Oh, it's fantastic. As you guys talked about previously, it's the combination of the original Raid and the Godfather. I mean, and that's just badass. Fights were awesome. Maybe didn't feel as dangerous as the first film.
Felt a
little more choreographed. I'm not complaining because, like, the kitchen fight was awesome.
Yeah, kitchen fight is unrivaled as far as I'm
concerned. There's a lot of great stuff, and like, it was a little more cartoonish in that you had Hammer Girl and her boyfriend, whatever it was.
Baseball bat boy.
So there's a little more cartoony stuff going on with that, but I really like the idea of hammers as weapons, and I don't know why they're not used more. So, it was long. But never really boring. Slow at times, but never really boring. And the action, while maybe not feeling as dangerous as the first film, was pretty friggin' sweet.
And like what Mac and I, when we were talking about this movie, that was kind of our approach. We were watching for the first time, remember, we were feeling a little antsy after a while there. You know, it's like, when are we going to kind of see you know, see some, you know, see this guy unleashed. And I liked how he really, he did backload a lot of, like, the hero action, you know?
Yeah.
You know, Iko Uwais, that's the name of the actor. But they, so that, and that's such a huge payoff. So I did leave the theater still shaking, I think.
And he is such a smooth fighter.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just the, I mean, I don't know his background, but it's some of the most believable fighting that I've ever seen.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, even watching John Wick, which was, like, a legitimately good action movie, you know, just seeing the choreography in the scenes, it's like, it's hard to, like, I just feel like they're just geniuses over there with, like, the raid and the choreography, right?
Well, I think
it's just building it up in the crescendo.
Yeah, and I think it's something about it not feeling choreographed. It's obviously choreographed, but right. It doesn't feel it. It feels like, it feels dangerous. And that's especially true in the first one, but because there's, it's more knives and hand-to-hand than it is, like, gimmicky weapons. But the, it just doesn't, unlike American action, where everything feels like the old John Wayne punch to the stomach on a certain level. Like, this doesn't feel choreographed at all. It clearly is, but it feels real, and that's pretty special.
All right. Very good.
Is there going to be a third one?
Yes.
There is.
There's going to be a third one. And there's also going to be a remake of the original Raid.
But, yay!
Yeah, without anyone who actually knows what they're doing as far as fighting goes. So that should be a lot of fun.
Maybe it'll star Keanu Reeves.
Perhaps. Perhaps we'll all get our wish. okay, so let's rock it through real quick. Anything for the site you want to alert anybody to, and then we'll get into our Halloween spooktacular. So, Eric, go ahead. Anything you want to call out?
Yeah, this week I'm reviewing UHF 25th Anniversary Edition on Blu-ray.
Nice.
My mop!
Exactly. thanks to the good fun people at Shout Factory who have been doing a very, who continue to do a great job with stuff that no one else will apparently touch. I kept waiting for Criterion to put out their UHF disc. They haven't, so they missed their chance. it looks good. It's not revelatory, but the upgrade is noticeable, and it's very solid. You can definitely tell now which scenes, which sequences are, you know, they couldn't upgrade. They're kind of the stuff that looks especially fuzzy now, like the Beverly Hillbillies video, which I think someone did on their computer, so like, there's no way to, like, you know, HDify that. You go from that to just the normal scenes, you can tell the difference, so... and it's still awesome. It has all the bonus features from a pretty rich DVD package that Miramax put out a while ago, 10 years ago.
Yeah, it was a while ago, but it didn't come out on DVD as far as I know for years after the original after you know the format came out. Like it just never appeared.
Yeah, in the audio commentary, they referenced the movie being 12 or 13 years old. They would have been 2002 probably. And it's been another like 10 years because that at one point I tried to track down that DVD and it was kind of hard/expensive to find. And that was right before they announced this Blu-ray, so it all worked out. But yeah, it's cool.
I wonder if they can make that movie again. Like, I'm thinking specifically of the
Poodles. Yeah, it's interesting. They mentioned that in the commentary, and they got a little bit of pushback. Actually, that scene and when Emo Phillips cuts off his thumb, those are the scenes that pushed it to a PG-13 rating.
Yeah, wasn't there a gag with a fire hose? Something gets...
Yeah, it was a kid who drinks from the fire.
It was a kid, yeah, yeah.
Kid, yeah. Or I mean, Conan.
Yeah, which actually is a decent-ish special effect from 1985. Actually, like
it is
quick. I mean, that's the thing. Like, the editing of that stuff is so quick. And they mentioned that poodle scene that they cut it a few like a second, they cut it before the poodles hit the ground, and that made it funnier because the test audiences didn't like seeing the poodles land.
No,
oddly enough, but. It's a great movie, and it's funny that like you know Weird Al is a musician, but there's very little music in the movie. You know what I mean? There's the Beverly Hillbillies music video, and there's the title song, and then for the soundtrack they just flesh it out like a normal album of stuff that's not even close to being in the movie. But it's an interesting approach, and it holds up. So.
Excellent.
All right, so I think it was on our last one that I may have talked about an upcoming horror movie that I was reviewing called The Taking of Deborah Logan. And so watched it. Didn't know quite what to expect from it, but was interested in it. And the result is absolutely fantastic. Maybe my number two found footage or first-person horror movie that I've seen.
Really? I watched that on Netflix earlier this week, and I did not like it at all.
You did not like it? Why not?
I mean, I think I've gotten to the point where I just do not like found footage anymore. So that, I mean, you know, cross that barrier. I think what they did by the end of the movie was interesting. It was so interesting, it made me think, oh, I wish they just made this into a normal movie and kind of played out some of the mystery stuff. But
okay, well, there's a couple of things then that I'd speak to that with is that first, I think it's one of the rare cases where there's a justifiable reason why they're running the camera while all this is going on. It's a same thing as Record, which is the by far the best of these movies. Mm-hmm. That it's a professional cameraman behind the camera, and professional cameramen shoot. Rather than some jerk who's got a new camcorder and just keeps going as the monster runs through New York. So it didn't bother me on that level like it tends to bother me. I thought the performances from the mother and daughter were some of the best that I've seen in horror in ages.
And this is our one-year-old, Rocco.
And especially the mother, Deborah Logan. That she had to go from regular Southern gentlewoman to Alzheimer's patient to demonically possessed, really at any given moment, and was able to perform. I was basically stunned by her performance. Mm-hmm. The rest of it, you know, I mean, it's a demon movie. It's what it is. But really, like, I really glommed onto those performances and the mother and daughter relationship, and really felt it. Really felt how hard that was, and how desperate the daughter was to, once it all came down, what the deal was, to get her mom back to normal. Like, I was all on board with that.
Good.
So. Not so much a fight.
I don't think I could muster up the energy to fight over a found footage horror movie.
Well, have you seen our ratings? Yeah, we have to fight. So Mac, bring the pain.
Huh? Let's see.
Yeah.
What have I got? I guess going in the horror movie vein, I reviewed Jennifer, which is a 1970s horror movie, blatant ripoff of Carrie. Basically, it's the story of Carrie, only they went through the script, crossed out Carrie, and wrote Jennifer, and that's most of the movie. The other big difference is that she's not just telekinetic, she telekinetically controls snakes. She sends snakes out to, kill the mean kids. And her psycho, instead of a psycho mom, she has a psycho dad who's a crazy Christian snake handler. So this whole snake thing going on in the movie.
Well, that's really a blatant ripoff of Carrie. That really is.
It really is, yeah.
I've never seen that one. I saw it on the list, but, yeah, I'd never seen it. It looked terrible.
Really, you're not missing much. You're better off watching Carrie again. The original, mind you. And, I don't know. There's a couple of really good, you know, snake-related gags at the end. There's like a dream sequence where a giant snake bites a guy's head off, and it's incredibly funny-looking, which kind of makes it wonderful. But other than that, not a whole lot to recommend from poor Jennifer.
All right. My end, a little shout-out to Vikings, I think, at the History Channel TV show I think I've talked about, which I liked but didn't quite stick the landing for me in season one. Season two, however, has been quite a joy. So I would highly recommend if that kind of history, kind of the Viking birth of England type of history, is at all interesting too. Which I kind of find it fascinating. This is a real good season. The Vikings starting to run around in Wessex, which is kind of the English Anglo-Saxon kingdom, and you're starting to see some more historical figures. But if you just want straight-up Viking action, that's there, too. And I guess it was co-produced by, I don't know, another... So it was co-produced, so that means there were episodes that were stronger than network. So you're getting this, and it's like, unrated stuff. So it definitely feels, you know, it's got a harder edge than a History Channel show. So I would recommend it. Vikings Season 2, if that's your bag, check it out. So that's it. That's all I got for that. So... we are now going to transition to the Halloween-themed portion of this podcast, and we're going to see how this is going to be an ambush topic type of thing. But what we're going to do here is I've gone to a website. I'm going to do a plug for this website called A Mom with a Lesson Plan.
Okay.
So I went to amomandlessonplan.com. So, and you guys do not look that up. No cheating.
Nope. All right.
We're not
on our system here. So I'm at amomandlessonplan.com. In fact, if you're listening to this, you can follow along. So if you go to all one word, of course, amomandlessonplan.com/Halloween-jokes-for-kids. So I have 23.
All right.
I have 23 Halloween jokes for kids. And you will pick a number from 1 to 23. And, you know, like Mac, you can pick my number if you want. And you will have, we will kind of keep, I don't know if we can do points, but I will say the joke. You'll get 1 point if you can, you, when it's your turn, if you can answer the joke correctly. If you can figure out the punchline. Gotcha. And but then your other task will be to come up with, you know, whatever the joke's about, witches or skeletons or ghosts or werewolves or whatever. That's your ambush topic, but, you know, just the theme of the joke. So if it's witches, talk about Bette Midler was in a witches movie, right?
Hocus Pocus.
Yes, Hocus Pocus, right. So there
so we each get one. We're not going through 23 ambush topics.
No. Yeah,
okay. All right, good.
I don't think we'll see how long this lasts. Maybe we'll do a couple rounds. But, yeah, you pick a number between 1 and 23. I will give it to you. I will tell you the joke. If you get a point if you figure it out. And then you have to give us a horror movie. It doesn't have to be a horror movie, actually. Any kind of... You know, just a usual ambush topic, but this is default spooky because they're
And just because I want to be nitpicky.
Yes.
So when we get our ambush topic, it's just for us.
No, just one person.
So
Eric, you go first. Then so you will choose a number. Then Daryl will choose a number. Then Mac choose a number. And then Mac, you choose a number for me. And then we'll see if it takes forever and it's punishing and miserable. We'll stop there, but maybe we'll do another one.
It'll be great. I like it.
Good. It'll be excellent. Yeah. So, Eric, so pick,
right.
Why don't you kick us
off?
All right,
spooky number 13.
Nice. And here's what we will do. If you get the joke wrong, we'll go around and you can steal. So Daryl can steal if he gets the joke. Or Matt can steal, all right? And you'll have like 3 seconds to steal. All right, say, what was your number
13.
Again? 13, excellent. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Why didn't the skeleton go to the ball? Why didn't the skeleton go to the ball?
The skeleton didn't go to the ball. He didn't get a bonevitation.
That's an excellent attempt.
That's not it. I know it's not it.
That is bonevitation. That does sound like some kind of movie. But, okay, Daryl, do you want to give it a shot?
I have no steal.
No steal. Mac, do you want to give it a shot?
He couldn't get out of his rib cage.
That's an excellent attempt. I know it's the correct answer, according to amomandlessonplan.com, is because he had no body to
go.
Snap. He's all bones.
All right, so Eric, you still have skeleton.
Okay.
Why did the skeleton go to the ball? That is your ambush topic.
All right, skeleton. All right, skeleton. So I'm going to go with the skeletons that fight. Am I wrong about this? Okay, a bunch.
About.
Okay, I'm going to go with the, because I can't think of the other one, the Ray Harryhausen skeletons.
Yeah,
there you go. I know it's been referenced in a bunch of other movies, and I wasn't sure. Was it in the Third Evil Dead? Was there a skeleton?
Yeah, it was in Army of Darkness.
Okay.
That's where I thought you were going with that.
Yeah.
That was a definite shout out to Harryhausen.
Oh, yeah. That's Jason of the Argonauts that happens in.
Oh, Jason of the Argonauts. Okay. Sinbad was
on. I don't remember skeletons from Sinbad, but skeletons are definitely in Jason and the Argonauts.
Yeah, that's Sinbad. The skeletons are all wearing those really loud sweaters and the one shirt.
Tell it.
They did that guest shot on a
telling weird family jokes, and they don't even have vocal cords, so I don't know how that works.
Yeah. All right, Daryl, pick a number between 1 and
23.
23. All right. All right. So this will be a challenge for you. So how do you make a skeleton laugh?
I make a skeleton laugh. Why are these all skeleton things?
There's more.
I don't have anything else.
You're choosing the skeleton.
I'm making the skeleton laugh because...
5, 4...
Don't got it. 3.
All right, Mac.
By tickling the ivories.
Oh, you're so close.
Can I steal?
Yeah, Eric, you can steal.
Ah, damn it.
By tickling his funny bone.
Yes, that is.
Oh!
But Mac kind of loosened the lid for you. I'm going to give that
to him. I knew it before Mac said. Oh. I let the record show in this game where the points mean absolutely nothing.
All right, excellent. All right, so Daryl, you got another skeleton thing. Or yeah, laughing skeleton.
Yeah, evil laugh.
I don't really have a skeleton or
tickling,
laughing skeleton.
Or tickling.
Oh, tickling horror is an awesome genre. All right, well, I'm going to go a little bit against the grain here and go with one of my favorite horror movies, Hardware, which does not typically feature and does feature a robot rebuilding himself into a skeleton. And I will point out, to the tune of Ministry's Stigmata, while it's being cut along, so the robot's rebuilding himself, Stigmata is playing, and it's cut together with a GWAR video. And this is all from like 1989, and it is friggin' awesome. So
I should watch this.
Oh, Hardware's the best. Sci-fi horror. Sci-fi.
I have seen parts of it.
It's Dylan McDermott in one of his first movies. And it's Richard Stanley who made Dust Devil, and that's about it besides Hardware. And a South African director. And, it's really, really good sci-fi horror. Highly, highly recommend it.
All right. Okay, Mac, picking up what you
want. All right, number
not
three.
23, not 13. All right. What do monsters turn on in the summertime?
The scare conditioning.
You can do this
one. Oh, very good.
Correct. Hey, it is correct. The scare conditioner. Yes. All right. So there you go.
Or summer?
Monsters.
Or air conditioning.
Summertime or air conditioning.
I mean, I've always liked how the movie Near Dark takes place like out in the desert during the day. Which kind of is not what you usually see in vampire movies, you know? And it kind of gave it sort of a Western cowboy feel. So, you know, they're vampires, but instead of dark, gloomy castles, they're just, you know, out in the open desert under the big blue sky, and I always like that contrast. So, and that's a really good movie, too. And for air conditioning, we'll go with Dogma, because the demons steal that person's house at the beginning because it has centralized air.
All right, that's fair. Yeah,
that's true. That's good. That's a good one. All right, Mac, choose one for me, and obviously. And what I'll do is first person to buzz with the correct answer will get a point. So because I see the answer.
Number one.
Mac, go ahead. One. All right. First one in. Here we go. Okay. What does a ghost do to stay safe in a car? What does a ghost do? Just
he puts on his boo belt.
What's that? What a sheep belt. Sheep belt.
Oh, close.
Sheep belt. Oh, snap.
I did see this. To be fair, I saw this. Find jokes for kids. So. Yeah. All right. So what does a ghost do to some ghosts? Okay. Well, I guess it's got to be Beetlejuice, I think, right? I mean, especially with the sheets, I'm just thinking of how they, what are the names? Help me. I know they're actors, obviously.
Lydia's the daughter.
And Gina.
Remember.
Lydia's the daughter, that's right.
Jack.
I can't remember.
Gina.
I don't know, whatever, but we know who they are. So, yes, Gina. We'll call her Gina. Yes, I do know that. So, yeah, obviously, they put the sheets on. They try to scare out Lydia and the company, and that doesn't really work. So, that was some fun. Those are
some great stop-motion stuff.
Beetlejuice, huh?
They're Barbara and Adam Maitland.
Thank you. The Maitlands, thank you. Yes, very good.
Yeah.
We can do another round of this.
All right, let's do one more round of this. Why not? It's fun times. Okay, Eric, go ahead.
All right, so give me lucky number seven.
Lucky number seven. What is the best way? If you get this, all right. What is the best way to speak to a monster?
The best way to speak to a monster is quietly.
You're close because it is a very literal joke. You're close, but that's not it.
Nicely?
Anyone? Daryl, Mac, you want to
have a second guess if Mac doesn't get it.
Literal, huh? I'm afraid to speak to I have no idea. With fangs right, tongue.
Can I guess? Can I guess? On the telephone?
Yeah, go ahead. Nah, it's not. You're close. From a long distance away.
Long distance. Clearly, telephone.
So, there you go. Okay, so there you go.
Monsters or telephones?
Monsters
okay. or long distance. Monsters. How about monsters? How about the monsters at the end, I think, of what's the movie? In the Mouth of Madness, the kind of like Lovecraft Carpenter one, which I like. I like that one. I like Lovecraft style horror.
I like that sense.
Oh yeah, sure. Yeah. I mean, I think that's probably
Lovecraft has never really been done right in a movie yet. I mean, Stuart Gordon gave it a good shot, but it's never quite been gotten right.
Yeah, it's never come together. Well, and a lot of it's because his monsters are the unseen.
Yeah, you can't once you take the description of something that you can't describe and try to, you know, visualize
render it. Yeah, it's not going
to
happen.
But so. I like that. To the movie's credit, though, in Mountains of Madness, we don't really get that good of a look at them.
Right.
No, it's
true. We get the fleeting, blurry glimpses.
So, there you go.
There it is. We'll go with 22.
Carol, go ahead. Pick another number.
It's better not be bad.
Okay, here we go. Which does a cool witch ride instead of a motorcycle?
A motor broom.
you're in the vicinity, and when Mac gets close, you'd get like half a point just for a fifth grade test or something. So I give you partial credit, but
I don't know if Mom is a Harry Potter fan, maybe a Nimbus 5000.
That's
how about a
no,
vacuum
not in this
cleaner.
One, Eric.
No.
That's Daryl was the closest. There was a
oh brother
broomstick. That's what it is.
Flag down.
Yeah, no, that's
at least a V like a so broomstick. At least is a little bit.
Yeah, a broomstick maybe, but yeah.
Sorry, Mom. With the
maybe the witch is really
plan. Cool. Plan.
Yeah, you're wrong on this.
Yeah, Mom of the Lesson Plan.
All right, well, witches is right, easy because
motorcycles.
It may have diminished a little bit in some recent viewings of Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but the witches in Suspiria.
Oh yeah.
I mean, it doesn't make any sense that there are witches in Suspiria, but there are. That's the plot. There are witches, but they make maggots come out of the ground, and they make a poor lady fall into a vat of barbed wire, and so I'm okay with it. So this is Spirit Witches.
A vat of barbed wire?
Well, it's
have like you ever that, it's a room full of
it's a room, like, but it's wire. Like it's like this room that it's like a room between two windows that doesn't house anything but barbed wire. So when the woman tries to jump from one window ledge to the other, she falls into the barbed wire and then struggles and gets herself caught.
It works in the context of the movie.
No, I'm
it works in the context of the movie. Yes.
I've clearly never seen Suspiria, or else I wouldn't be asking.
It's an awesome scene.
I think that's, I mean, that is a great word. I think that of barbed wire, besides being, you know, the name of my autobiography, is just great visually.
All right. Excellent. Mac.
Okay. Number four.
Here we go. Why is it safe to tell a mummy your secret?
Because they will keep it under wraps.
Yes!
Oh, very good.
Nicely done. All right, there you go. You got a mummy now to work with.
Oh, the mummy. Yeah, I love the one with Boris Karloff. It's a classic for a reason. He's great in it. Of course, we all know that he's only in the mummy makeup at the very beginning, and the rest of the time he's spooky Ardeth Bay. But that's great because, you know, he gets to do his Boris Karloff thing where he talks like this and he's got that deep voice. And not enough good things I can say about that. I was going to watch the other Universal mummy movies a few years ago, but the discs wouldn't play on my machine. So the All that stuff with the Tarno leaves or whatever.
Yeah, and those are Lon Chaney Jr. ones, right?
Yeah, where the mummy ended up in the Deep South and stuff. But yeah, those are still on my 2C list. I haven't seen them yet. So one of these days.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like a spooky malfunction.
It was. It was the ancient curse was trying to keep the secret.
Excellent. All right. Go ahead, Matt. Choose another one for me, and then I'll throw it out to you guys to guess.
Okay. Number 10. Have we done that?
Number 10. All right. I think you guys can do this one. What is the most important subject a witch learns in school?
Spelling.
Yes!
Ooh.
I think Mac decisively won that game.
Yeah, Mac killed it.
Spelling. That's right, Mac. Let's see. I guess witch in school.
Spelling.
Have there been any movies about schools for witches?
Well, there is a high school movie about witches.
There is.
That I am fond there of. That I'm fond of.
Look, Daryl, Mean Girls doesn't count.
That's not quite that, but similar. It's actually very similar.
So they have an actual, like, a movie with a scary witch in it. Well, there's a Witch Hunters movie with Jeremy Renner.
Hansel and Gretel.
Hansel and Gretel, right. That wasn't terrible.
Yes, it was.
Sleepy Hollow. Sleepy Hollow had some witches, right?
Because
she summoned the Hessian back from the dead.
That's right. So that's a movie. That's actually a Tim Burton movie I enjoy.
Yeah, my movie that crosses both ends of that is The Coven.
Oh, I remember that one.
With Neve Campbell and, God, Fairuza Balk.
Oh, do you mean The Craft?
The Craft, that's what I mean, not The Coven.
I think there was a movie.
But there is a movie called The Coven. It's older, yeah.
But yeah, The Craft is what I mean.
Yeah, The Craft, man, Fairuza Balk, she goes just nuts at the end of that movie. I mean, she just goes for it.
All right, well, we're going to wrap all this Halloween hijinks up with one last joke. This is out to all of you guys, whoever gets it. You will be crowned the champion, even
well,
though
I've been keeping
might have the most points.
I've been keeping score.
Oh, you got score? Yeah, what do we got?
It's 2 points for Eric and 3 for me.
Oh, nice. Okay. All right. So
the guy who won is also keeping track of the score.
Yeah.
I see.
All right, this one's worth 2 points. So between Mac and Eric, here we go. So Daryl and I are out. We're out of this conversation.
All right. Okay.
Whoever gets this will win.
All right.
Ready? Here we go. What kind of monster loves to disco?
Disco.
What kind of monster loves to disco?
It's a disco. No.
Okay.
All right, what was that one?
The boogeyman.
Oh, I got it.
That's fair.
That's a good answer. Okay, how about... all right, I think we got... I got this okay. one. What is a scarecrow's favorite fruit? As you frantically run through fruits in your mind. What is a scarecrow's favorite fruit?
Blueberry?
Nope. That's not bad. It's not bad.
Not great either.
Does Scarecrow say boo?
Nope.
They could. Yeah.
They could. Why not? Yeah. Okay.
Man.
It's strawberry.
Oh.
All right. Man. One more because we can't go out like this. Okay.
All right.
What do witches put in their hair? What do witches put in their hair?
Scare spray?
Yes! Scare spray!
It comes from behind.
There it comes from round three. Round three of sudden death.
He died a long time ago, but then we came back to life because it's Halloween.
That's right. Well, that is it. That is the end of this terrifying, spine-tingling episode of Friday Filibuster. So thank you for tuning in. Thank you to Eric, Daryl, and Mac for rejoining us. Always good to hear from Mac. And with that being said, Mac, take it away.
It comes with it a dark curse.